night we met, I can't forget. We talked till the morning. When the sun came up, no, we couldn't stop. We just kept going. Kissing in the rain, never be the same. We were in it together. And the song that played about the times that changed would be ours forever. Life will pull us apart, but don't let it break us. We will always be the way we were. No matter where we are, no matter where life takes us, we will always be the way we were. Where we were. That summer dress lying on my bed in the light of the evening. We closed our eyes. Outside, felt like we were dreaming. Now the song still plays, and so much has changed, but we're still here together. Life will pull us apart, but don't let it break us. We will always be the way we were. No matter what.
Can you walk me and our listeners as well through the emotional and creative journey of making this album?
I've kind of been learning how to make this record my whole life, which might sound like a cliche, but it's true. My last record that I made, the Italian album, Miss Italia, made me realize how much I've sort of craved going a bit more personal with my songs. I think because before that, a lot of the albums I made, they were very strong on their concept, Singing to Strangers, Europeana, even Miss Italia. They had these very strong concepts to protect me, basically, because I could be very honest and very personal, but they had the concept was bigger than me. With this record, I didn't want to have a concept. I just didn't have a concept. I wanted to actually use the process of making this record to learn more about myself and about the world around me, which is what I used to do when I was a kid. So I feel like I've kind of gone back to my roots. I wanted to write songs the same way when I was sort of 16. I never had concepts when I was 16. I never had playlists or managers or record labels. Yes. I just would sit down and grab a guitar and a piano and see who I was on that day. And that's how the process of this album very much was, which is why when I then finished the writing, I played the music to the band, to the guys, and everyone was like, it was really sweet. A lot of the guys were like, it's so nice to hear music about us. And I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, well, you know, middle-aged men, middle-aged people, you know, and there's nobody sort of making music that we can relate to these days. I don't think, I can't find it at least. I always have to go back to the past, to Joni Mitchell, to Bruce Springsteen, to Tom Waits, to Joan Baez, even to the 90s, Alanis Morissette, Fiona Apple, if I want to get songs that I feel like they resonate with me at 42 years of old. So I'm glad that I think we've made a very grown-up album is the best way I can describe it. It's what you see is what you get. I will always be the way I was. We will always be the way we were. I'm trying to stop trying. And I think that's part of the midlife crisis, if you want. I mean, I almost called the album Midlife Crisis, but I didn't think that had a great sound to it. That's basically what it is about, though.
Do you believe we always remain who we once were, or do you say that we simply carry fragments of earlier versions of all these things that adds up of ourselves?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think fundamentally, I don't know if we change that much. I think we grow. I hope that we grow. The metaphor to me that makes sense is a tree. A tree grows, the leaves fall, the leaves come back, but the roots are always the same. The roots are solid. And I think it's something about, I'm not who I was necessarily 10, 20 years ago, but he's still in me. He's still there. I think you just used the word fragments. I think that's a great word. There are definitely fragments of who we were that will always be with us. And I think it's important to remember that. And sometimes we fear that we've lost it. So we do very extreme things to try and regain it, you know, especially when you reach midlife, the afternoon of life, if you want. And I kind of rather than chasing who I was in the past, I'm actually just kind of looking for him within me. I think he's there. And letting him come out to play every now and then. You have daughters. We were just talking before the show about your daughters have just left home. I have a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 4-year-old. But my 14-year-old, even when I see her walk into the room, I see the beautiful woman she's becoming. But I also see the 3-year-old version of her. I still see my little munchkin walking in. She'll always be that to me. Like, she'll grow, yes, but she'll never change. To me, she'll always be my little daughter. You know what I mean? And I think it's the same within ourselves. I'm growing. I'm becoming a man. But I always have to look after the little boy in me and remember that he's still there and protect him and let him know that he's still got a place within me.
That's kind of advice that would you tell to your 20-year-old self? If there was a way that you can meet him and tell him a few things, what would the main direction be to him?
Well, I'm kind of still giving him advice because he's still there. That 20-year-old self is still in me. So I talk to him every day. Like, are you good with what I've become? Are you happy with who I'm becoming? Are you proud? Are you ashamed? How should we move forward? I look at all those versions of me, and I'm like, is everybody cool with how we're doing this? It's like a team meeting. Every day I sort of decide to have a team meeting with all my past selves and say, is anybody upset? Should I be doing something better? Are we good? And I think that's really liberating. It's actually quite sort of, yeah, I don't know. It's great. I'm starting to get to know myself a little bit better and accept. You know, this album is very much about acceptance, the imperfections, not the perfections. And that's the same way we're playing this live. I don't want it to be perfect because we're not perfect. I want it to be imperfect. Even the album, when you listen to it, I think it's the best record I've ever made because of how imperfect it is. Like, I think it's one of the bravest records I've ever made in the sense because it took a lot of courage not to try and make it better, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
Like, to just let it be. And I think I wouldn't have been able to do that 10 years ago because I wasn't confident enough, or I wasn't brave enough, or I wasn't man enough, established enough, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But at 42 years old, I'm like, if I don't do this now, if I can't say that's actually who I am, let's just leave it like that. Let's don't try and fix it. No. No auto-tune, no polish, no 70 take. Like, that's what it is. That's how I felt in that moment. Let's leave that version.
You also mentioned earlier in our conversation that nobody makes records for our generation anymore. Did you mean sound-wise or as an aesthetic thing?
No, I mean both, really. I think there's a lot to be said about sonically, music is changing dramatically. And I think a lot of people are making music with less and less people. That's why, for example, the beauty of Rosalía's last album, this incredible masterpiece, is how many people are involved. I think that's what makes it so magnificent. It's like the grandeur of it, the humanity of it. And then there's other albums you listen to that you know it was just one guy in a bedroom, which, don't get me wrong, it has its place and everything. But I think from my point of view, it's more the topics, the things that people are talking about, the questions being asked in a song, the doubt, the vulnerability and strength, all of these things. There's not many. I mean, I think Bon Iver is in that category. I think Rosalía is in that category. Don't get me wrong. It is happening. It does happen, but not enough. I love Tom Petty. Tom Petty is one of my favorite artists. Wildflowers is one of my favorite albums ever made. And I can put that album on. And I loved it when I was a kid because I love the sound. I love the vibe. I love everything. But now I put it on as a 42-year-old man. And it means everything to me. Like, I totally understand now what he's talking about. And I don't get that from a lot of music that comes out today. I love the sound. I love the feeling. I love the vibe. I like how it makes me feel. But I don't listen to it and go, oh, man, that's exactly what I'm going through. I don't relate very much. So I hope that this record that we've made, I think people, what Carl Jung calls the afternoon of life, I think might relate to it. It might be a good friend. It might not, but I hope that it is.
I enjoyed very much also Step by Step, which is, I think...
Oh, thank you, man.
Yes, it's a song that it kind of speaks to me as well. I don't know.
Brilliant, yeah.
Yes.
But I think that's funny you say that. That's the total, like, that is a quintessential midlife song, I think, on the album. It's step by step.
Exactly.
It is. It's when you learn to accept, you know, and you don't want to rush things. You want to, let's, like, step by step, together. Let's keep moving together, step by step. You know what I mean? Don't push. Let's do it together, step by step.
Cut the tension with a knife. I'll tell you how it tastes. When I drink from the cup of a beautiful life, not a drop will go to waste. Help me find a reason. Help me find my faith. They were both sat here about an hour ago. Now they've gone without a trace. And I'm scared I've lost another chance with every setting sun. Trying to find the rhythm to this dance along with everyone. Step by step, walk with me into the night. Oh, I can bring the darkness and you can bring the light. Step by step, I want to learn how to fly. You can be my teacher until together we'll take flight.
thing. Life was a game we used to play and a song we loved to sing. Sailing on the tears of time like Noah through the flood. This is a fairy tale of mine and it's written in my blood. Setting sun, try to find the rhythm to this dance along with everyone. Step by step, walk with me into the night. Oh, I can bring the darkness and you can bring the light. Oh, step by step, I want to learn how to fly. With me into the night. Oh, I can bring the darkness and you can bring the light. Oh, step by step, I want to learn how to fly. You can be my teacher until I get it right. Oh, step by step, step by step. Oh, won't you teach.
Did you realize the futility of what you were talking to me? I want people to listen to this record or these songs, this set of songs, in the way I put them. But
no, I mean, look, that's beyond my control. We are in the age of algorithms and shuffle,
yes.
Which is fine. But I do think there's something to be said about going to look for it rather than being told. And I think we live in a day and age where we're just being fed. We're being told. We think we're choosing. We think we're looking for stuff, but we're not. There's a science behind it. There's a formula behind it. And so be it. That's very convenient and very wonderful in some respects. But occasionally, I think it's great to choose to dive into something outside of yourself. And I do that with literature. I do that with movies where you try to really lean into it the way it was meant to be written rather than, I don't know, you choosing to sort of devote yourself to something and to experience it the way it was done, the way it was meant for, I think is something really powerful. It's an experience. I want listening to an album to be an experience. I want it to be your experience, if you know what I mean. Like the,
yes.
The individual's experience, not something that's being, I don't know, pushed upon you.
You have a very balanced personal life. I know that from the experience that I have from our acquaintances. And you also have a very balanced and very diverse and also very creative career. What does the word success mean to you now that you're reaching your midlife? You seem to both handle well your creativity, your career, and also your personal life. Does success mean the same thing like when you were 20, for instance, as you said earlier?
I don't know if I thought about success very much when I was younger. I probably think more about success now in the sense that I am terrified to be doing something chasing success because I'm not a results guy. I don't really care. When I say care, that's a bad word, but I don't really feel anything because of results. Like if you tell me, oh, 2,000 people are listening to this right now or 2 million people are listening to it doesn't really mean anything to me. But the process of actually making this and making music and working with people, I'm addicted to that. Like I would be very scared of my life without that. And so to me, success is kind of the most successful thing about my choices or just myself is that I don't crave success. Like I don't know how to explain it. Like to me, success is in the process. It's not in the results. Like the results really, don't get me wrong, it's lovely when something good happens and you get a, you know, a number one record or you sell out a show. Of course, that's a great feeling. But do I think I'm more successful or less successful if I don't or do that? No. Like, if I don't go to number one, I don't think I'm a failure. If we don't sell out the venue, I don't think we failed. And if we go to number one, I don't think I'm this great success. And if we sell out a venue, I don't think I'm a great success. If I really, really love the process of doing something, of making something, then I feel really successful. And if I don't enjoy the process, if I think I'm always doing stuff that I'm not enjoying, that is bringing out the worst in me, then I feel like a failure. To me, success is giving value to the process, not the results.
Ever since I can remember, I've questioned who I am and who to be. I don't want to live forever. I just want to find a truth I can believe. Will I get to heaven? Will I go to heaven? No one knows. Time will tell. Will I find the answer at the bottom of a wishing well? In a choir of angels, in the ringing of the bell, no one knows, time will tell. Looking back, I see a young man who loved to give his heart and watch it. Of burden, and I don't know how much more we both can take. Will I get to heaven? Will I go to heaven? No one knows. Time will tell. Will I find the answer at the bottom of a wishing well? In a quiet
Is there a song in this album that you felt particularly not scared, but it was too personal for you to record and release?
No, because they're all personal, but they're not entirely autobiographical. So, like, it's not necessarily Dear Diary, this is what happened to me today. It'll be something I felt or something I've seen or something I've seen somebody I love feel. Can even be something I've just seen on the news, but it's made an impact on me. So they're not like literal, you know, they're inspired by situations, by either situations I've been through or seen, but they're not like, this is exactly what happened. None of them are, I don't know, maybe they are more than I know, but I don't think about it that way, because once it's in a song, it's not about my experience. It's about the bigger thing. The vulnerability, the doubt, the love, the happiness, the intensity. It's trying to capture all of those things and sort of put them into a moment. It's not the literal, like, and then you said this and then I said that. It's not literal.